But fruit. Fruit is something that we enjoy. Some, you might enjoy some fruit. The strawberry season, Sandy tells me, is past now. So, blueberries are in abundance. And it's good that we can, it'll soon be the season for apples. And but fruit, what is a fruit? One of the things that I always wanted to do, I always enjoyed eating an orange. And I always wanted to pick a fresh orange off a tree. Well, I got the opportunity to do that, and that was a blessing. Now, I don't know how good you are at identifying trees. But again, for some trees, you can identify them, well, most trees, probably by their leaves, but you can better identify them by the fruit that they bear, right? So you know if it's a pear tree, you see pears on it. Mind you, these days they graft different trees together, so you can have an apple and a pear together, or different types together. But generally, you can tell the type of tree by its fruit. And so, from the way that God has been leading us, I wanted us to look at what the Bible talks about when it talks about fruit. And of course, I go to Galatians chapter 5. But if we look at the beginning of creation, we learn that God created, and that there's so much that is good for us. God created all things. But there was one thing that God said to Adam and Eve, you must not. You can eat whatever is there, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you should not touch. But of course, the temptation was there, and they gave in to the temptation and disobeyed. The consequence of that has been passed down through the years. And so let's have a look at some of the things that the Bible talks about when it talks about fruit. And starting with Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16, I say then, walk. I said to start at verse 13, sorry. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware, lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let's not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And God will bless that reading of his word to us. But also I want to read the words of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel. Paul, as he's writing to the Galatians, he is trying to help them to understand what grace is. Trying to get them to understand that surrender to God is something that does not necessarily come easy, because there's a battle within us. I'll come back to that in a moment. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 17, Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." And then I'm going to turn to John chapter 15. And again, it all fits in to what I want to share. In John 15, Jesus says, "I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." There's much more in that chapter, but that's sufficient for me to use to help us to come to understand where we need to come to if we are to produce fruit. Fruit contains a seed, and the seed is a blessing and it produces more fruit. You see, what Jesus is saying is that you can tell by the fruit that is being produced the kind of person that is before you. But be careful, because of those who are dressed as sheep. We need to be careful and choose and understand that we need to see God through us. People need to see the fruit in our lives if we are believers in Jesus. How can that fruit be produced? Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." And so what he is saying is that, you know, my love, you are in me and I am in you. If you understand the way that when he's talking about a vine and that we are grafted into the vine, and that we take our nourishment from the vine, and the fruit that is produced is dependent upon the vine. And that's what we need to be. That's where we need to be. We need to be dependent upon God. Recognize that the flesh is that which we produce ourselves. And the Bible tells us that all have sinned. And our nature is sinful. And that nature will produce its own fruit. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And so we need to come to that place where we acknowledge our sin and come to receive from Him His gift of eternal life. And then when we receive His gift of eternal life, we need to put to death that old nature. We need to take in from the vine. We need to take in from God. We need to take in from His Holy Spirit who comes to live with us. And then we will produce fruit. But too often we forget, because we are of this earth, we are sinners. We have that tendency towards sin and being self-sufficient. While self-sufficiency is not enough, we need to be sufficient in God. We need to have His power in our lives. We need to acknowledge His love for us. And then He comes to live in us. And the fruit that we produce will be of benefit to others. We need God. We need God's help, because Paul, as he's writing to the Galatians, they have a battle about what they need to do and what and grace. There's a conflict between. And he is trying to say that we need to recognize that there is a battle going on within us. We all have that. The temptations that come our way, the devil puts things in our way, and temptations come because of our own nature, and the attempt is to try and lure us away from God and try and put something in the way that causes us to not be fruitful, to walk in a different way. And so he's writing here telling us that we have liberty. But the liberty we have is to choose, who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve God? Or are we going to serve our old nature? Paul says, the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Notice that Paul is saying that, but he already is assuming that they have a love for God, because Jesus said the law is summed up in this: that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. So Paul, as he's writing to the Galatians, he acknowledges that they already love God. But he's saying, as because you love God, then you need to show that love to others. You need to love your neighbor. And who is my neighbor? Remember that story that Jesus told? And that's a lesson that we certainly need to hear today. Because Jesus taught us we need to be a people who love. God so loved that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus told the story of leaving 99 behind and looking for the one sheep. What he is saying is that every single person in this world is important to him. That he loves each one who is here. Whatever their background, whatever their circumstances, God loves them. And he wants us, because we are his children, to love in the same way that he loves. Jesus did not discriminate. The Jews did. He criticized them. He demonstrated by the way that he dealt with individuals, whatever their background, he accepted them. When they came to him, he accepted them. And he showed love for them. And he responded to them, and they responded to him. And in many cases, their lives were changed, their lives were turned around. And so we need to be appreciating his love for us. And as we fall in love with him, that we fall in love with those around us. I fear we've become very apathetic as people. Because we know that we are saved, we know that we belong, that we have accepted Jesus to be our Savior, he is living with us. And we know that we have a home in heaven that Jesus has promised. We know all that. But I think we have lost something in this century. We have lost compassion for those who are lost. Maybe we think about heaven and we know that we have a place in heaven and we go to be with Jesus where he is. We don't talk about the judgment of God upon those who do not accept him. Of hell, of eternal separation from God. But that's the plight of those who do not accept Jesus. If the name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then the Bible tells us they're cast into the lake of fire. We need to have a compassion for those around to try and demonstrate God's love for them and see their lives changed. Remove the prejudices that we have. You may be concerned about different situations and different circumstances that take place. But when we hear from Jesus saying, don't worry, and when we are told that faith works, we trust God and he works it out through us. And when he is telling us that we need to show that love for our neighbors. Do we have that love? The truth is, I don't think we do have the strength of love for those who are lost that once maybe we had. I believe there needs to be a wake-up call for every believer to awaken to the reality that we are his witnesses. That we need to be demonstrating love, and our actions will show more than the words we speak. The law is fulfilled in one word, in this you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware, lest you be consumed by one another. I fear the world in which we live, that's what's happening today, is everybody is out for themselves. Doesn't matter. I matter. But the truth is, God is saying, yes, you matter, but also everyone else matters to him. And so we as a church need to be praying and asking God to show us, how do we show that love for the people around us, those we know? The way in which God moved in powerful ways in the past has been as people have seen a change in a person's life. Has seen that to know God is to show love. To know God is to love as he loved. To be prepared to sacrifice in order for him to work through us. The early church did not have an easy time, and we forget that. The early church was persecuted. They didn't seek to overthrow the Roman government because they
belonged to God, and they knew the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that the message was for all people, Jew and Gentile. Peter had a little bit of a problem with that until God used Paul to help him to understand that God would accept whosoever comes to me, I will accept, I will take in. And so we need to be a people who are surrendered to God, know his life in us, flowing through us, showing love and concern. Last week the challenge from James was that you don't just say to somebody, well, God bless you. If you see there's a need that you can meet, then meet it. That's what God challenges us to do. And so we need to be a people who are surrendered to God and allow his love to flow through us and learn to love the unlovable. It's not easy. We cannot do it in our own strength. And that's why Paul really comes to this conclusion in this part of his letter, that we need to walk in the Spirit. That means we walk knowing that God is with us and knowing and being conscious that he is watching over us, he is taking us wherever we are. He is with us. Where we go, he goes. Whoever we meet, he is meeting with too. And if anyone comes against us, they're coming against him. That's why Paul could say, if God be for us, who can be against us? How shall he not with him freely give us all things? God will help us through the battles that take place. The battle will take place within us, first of all. And that's why he talks about this, the contrast between the flesh and the spirit. Surrender to God, there is such a contrast between giving in and not listening to God. God will help us, will give to us a heart of flesh, a soft heart for those around us, not a hard heart. The flesh will treat everything selfishly. And that is the way society has gone very much today. Paul says, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In another place he says, put into death that old nature. I died, but Christ might live in me. When Jesus talked about being the vine, I in him and he in me. That is a powerful illustration. That interdependence. We need him and he needs us to be his hands, his feet. And so he talks about this very real conflict that goes on. The flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And they oppose each other. So he says, you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You see, we need to know our dependence is on God. He comes into our lives and changes us and changes the way we see things. And as a result of that, then the evidence of the flesh will be put to one side. Occasionally it will surface. Don't hear me saying that we are going to be perfect, that none of these things will take place in our lives. Well, Paul is saying it will take place, but come and confess and receive forgiveness and then move on with God's power in you. The works of the flesh are evident, which are I'm not going to go through that list again. But you know, if you go through that list and look through it, you will see that that is what is uppermost in our society. You will see that that is what often some of those issues that are capitalized on in our world. I will read them, but I'm not going to dwell on them. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Let none of that take place in our lives. And the only way it will not take place is when we surrender to Him and let Him fill us with His Spirit and let Him move through us that we might produce in us fruit. That we might show that we belong to the vine. That we might be that good tree that bears good fruit. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. We need to see the reality of God moving through us and see that we can display love for those who maybe others would not consider. Jesus would have been criticized for so many people that approached him. Let us be open to who God is putting in our way, that we might have opportunity to produce that fruit in our lives. That we might be the people who show love. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, as you have love one for the other. First of all, as a church, we must love each other, and people will see how they love. And then, as we go out from the church, we love the people around us. We show love. We may not like some people, but we must love. It's a quality. It's something that comes from knowing God, that He produces in our lives the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. This, I'm going to deal with different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit in coming weeks. But generally, what I want us to understand is that we need to be a people who are grafted into the vine, who produce fruit. And as I say, the fruit in itself has a seed, and that seed is sown, and then that produces more fruit. But the seed has to die, and we have to die to self and surrender to Him for His fruit to be evidenced in our lives. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In other words, the flesh does no longer have any power over us. So he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. In true humility, accept what God is doing in your life and how that is going to work out into the lives of those around us as we show love. Let's just look at the qualities that come from the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You see the great openness that comes from the fruit of the Spirit. See the contrast between being bound by sin and the old nature and the freedom that comes from knowing God's forgiveness and knowing that we are His and being His people, sharing, being His witnesses, being His ambassadors. May we each surrender afresh to Him and ask that the fruit of the Spirit become evident in our lives, and that fruit produce something in somebody else's life. Where I come from in Wales, there was a time at the beginning of in 1904 when God moved in a powerful way in the lives of individuals through one man who went began a work through him and seeing whole villages and valleys coming to faith in God and seeing lives changed. It was obvious, it was clear through the change that took place. Remember a friend of mine, just one person who would mock me on occasions as a young person. We went to college together. He would sit alongside me and mock me because I was a believer and he wasn't. And how one day God came to him and challenged him. His life was turned around. And I had worked at this particular place. I went back to work there and I found that this guy walked in at a coffee break and told everybody there that I was a believer. And I thought, oh, he's starting it again. And as people there talked to me, they told me how his life had been changed. One day he was there using words that were common. But his life had been changed by God and he no longer used those words. He was a different person. The fruit that was being produced was evidence in his life. And we had great times of fellowship after that. He served as a pastor in Venezuela for a number of years. God uses individuals, but He changes us when we surrender to Him. So my prayer is that we as a church will see that God can reach out to individuals. We can reach out to the town, but we need to reach out to those we know and show to them that we belong to Him as we show love. May God help us to produce fruit. He is the only one who can. We're going to sing the next hymn, which is Make Me a Blessing. And that is a prayer.
The sunshine where darkness is right.
Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.